This is the Vancouver Weather State Podcast.
And welcome back to Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Scalina.
And I'm your other host, Matt Scalina.
And Matt, should say host, but also realtors with Oakland Realty in downtown Vancouver. So excited about today's guest. We've got Jane Talbot. She is the president of Downtown Van, which is the BIA for downtown Vancouver.
Yeah, this is an exciting one, Adam, because these guys are on the front lines of what's happening downtown. Is it being revitalized? What's going on the Granville Strip? How are we going to tackle FIFA in the next coming weeks? Lots to talk about with Jane. And I feel like this was a great conversation about the missteps, but also the exciting opportunities downtown right now.
Yes, exactly. Well, we get downtown Vancouver and specifically Granville Street under control, not only in time for FIFA, but moving forward. That's kind of the big, that's the thrust of the conversation. Jane is obviously working with a lot of the business owners along Granville, and that's who they're really representing. And they want to see positive change. And spoiler alert, there are some green shoots.
There are some green shoots, Adam. But, you know, as they say, as goes Granville Street, goes downtown Vancouver. So we will watch. That's what they say. So we're going to watch, and we work down there and spend a lot of our time down there too. So everybody's hoping for the best, that's for sure. But before we get to the conversation with Jane, Adam, we have the segment that remains nameless, our quiz section. This week, I have a quiz question. You know, I'm thinking a lot about FIFA. So this is right where I'm going. One thing I've been thinking about, Adam, is the spring market. This is not the quiz question. This is just a thought that I've been thinking about as I drive around over the last couple of weeks. The spring market, we're mid-May. Usually it starts slowing down in June. Does the market fall off a cliff at the start of FIFA? Do we just take a month straight pause? Or is it business as usual? Your thoughts?
I think it's business as usual. Why would we stop for a straight month?
I just feel like it's going to be so busy, many festivities. I mean, I don't know. I'm taking the month off.
Just kidding.
I am definitely not taking the month off.
Never too busy for your referrals.
I am excited for it. That's right. The quiz question, Adam, this week, we've talked about it a bit at the P&E, a signature concert experience, they're calling it, for FIFA, with a bunch of music groups, including, you'll be excited to hear, Motley Crue is coming. Adam,
oh, nice.
Motley Crue. But what I want you to do is name the artist who's also part of that series, who's coming to downtown, whose dad shot the sheriff but did not shoot the deputy.
Okay, wow. That's a tricky one.
But before we get to that, Adam, I want to highlight one of our listings over at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com, 3530 West 43rd Ave. This is kind of technically in the Southlands, but Southlands, Carisdale, Dunbar, you kind of have the best of all those West Side neighborhoods. You're on a quiet tree-lined street, two bed, two and a half bath, 2021 build. This is a craftsman style home, perfect for young families, perfect for downsizers. It's over 1400 square feet. Everything is big with an unbelievable kitchen, bay windows, thermidor, gas cooktop, and appliances. You have to see it to believe it, Adam. That's for sure. And it's at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. While you're there, check out our other featured listings and click sell with us, where you can download the sold plan. That is start on launch date to get your property sold today. But let's get back to our quiz question.
Just trying to figure out which of the Marley kids. I'm going to go Ziggy, because I think that's the only one that comes to mind.
You are correct. I was thinking of how to push you towards Damian Marley, who's also
Damian.
Yeah,
I had a stint
at one point.
I had a huge stint. Yeah,
but it's Ziggy Marley. Really? That is going to be if it's sunny that day when Damian. Even if it's not, Ziggy Marley is going to be great, and I think I'm going to that.
Yeah.
One.
I blast Damian Marley with the windows up around Vancouver all summer. So it's and the AC on, Matt. Anyways, it's good summer tunes. All right. Well, let's cut to our conversation. This is a great one. Jane Talbot. If you love downtown Vancouver as much as we do and as much as Jane does, you're going to take a ton away from this episode. And obviously, all eyes are on downtown for FIFA.
Absolutely. Enjoy this one.
Zanterra has done it again. Recently named Multifamily Home Builder of the Year by the Home Builders Association of Vancouver and the Canadian Home Builders Association of BC. Zanterra continues to move forward on new projects. And their latest, Butte, a new condo community in West Clayton, is now selling. With construction already underway, buyers can purchase with confidence, knowing that the project is moving forward.
Butte offers 1, 2, and 3-bedroom condos located just 3 blocks to the future SkyTrain, Adam. These condos come with tons of inclusions like gas ranges, air conditioning, and designer-selected finishes. Residents will have access to the rooftop patio, fitness center, on-site daycare, co-working space, games room, and tons of outdoor space with 3 playgrounds. Estimated completion is summer 2028.
The best deals are happening now. Visit Zanterra's home store in South Surrey to get all the details or check out the floor plans at buttecondos.ca. That's B-U-T-E condos.ca.
Hi, I'm Michael Yu.
And I'm Morgan Brown. And we're the founders of Oakland Realty. We have 9 offices across British Columbia.
Serving all major markets of BC. If you're an agent out there, just like Adam and Matt, who happen to be licensed at Oakland, please reach out to us at oakwin.com/join and type into that message box, The Rep, and you'll receive a free gift and a promotion when you meet one of our leaders.
Thanks so much, and we're looking forward to meeting with you.
See you soon.
Okay, so we're here with Jane Talbot. She is the president and CEO of Downtown Van. How are you doing, Jane?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking the time, Jane. Maybe for our listeners, can you start by telling us a little bit about yourself? From our crack research team, I hear you grew up in a very small town. So curious to hear how you ended up in Vancouver.
Yeah, I did. I grew up on the Pennsylvania side of the Pennsylvania-New York state border in a very, very small town. And the town actually made up an area called the Valley. It was one of 3 little towns. 2 were in Pennsylvania and 1 was in New York State. And if you didn't know that you were crossing a state line, if you didn't see the sign, you would never know. Very small. My dad was a high school teacher, a football coach. He drove the school bus for the football team. He was an assistant minister. He was the mayor. I should probably say that too. often at the same time. So just a small town. Great place to grow up.
Nice. How did you end up in Vancouver, Jane?
Yeah, my ex-husband had a company that was purchased by buyers in Burnaby. And we came here on a 6-month transition contract. And I'm still here. He is not. but it's been since, I think, 1998. It's been a long time.
Wow.
And I just became a Canadian citizen.
Oh, congratulations.
Wow. Congratulations. And so it's interesting, I guess, like most Vancouverites, a transplant from somewhere else, or many, many Vancouverites. Can you tell us a little bit about Downtown Van and what the mandate is, I guess?
Yeah. Okay. So we're the Downtown Vancouver Business Improvement Association. That's a mouthful. So a couple of years ago, we rebranded and we're less formally known now as just Downtown Van. We serve 90 blocks of the Central Business District in Downtown Vancouver. We represent 8,000 members and about 141,000 people who come into work every day to work in our businesses. Ultimately, our job is to make sure that Downtown Vancouver is vibrant, safe, place where people want to be, a place where businesses can thrive.
Jane, I'm thinking about Vancouver downtown specifically over the last 10 years, and it seems like the narrative has changed a little bit about around downtown. Can you talk about maybe how it's not only downtown has changed a little bit, but can you also talk about how the narrative has changed?
Definitely. So I should say that I've worked here for 8 years, almost a full 10 years, not quite. Mm. there are some things that are very much the same, and there are some challenges that have emerged post-COVID. So very much the same is safety in terms of a concern for our membership. I was looking over old member surveys just a couple of weeks ago. Top of mind, number one concern in 2018 was community safety. Then it was clean and safe. And then it was barriers to doing business. So we've had similar issues, but COVID just made everything worse. And the only thing that I would say has gotten slightly better since COVID is the red tape piece. There's so much work happening at the city to try to reduce the barriers to doing business in Vancouver. And we are starting to see some progress. But looking back 5 or 6 years ago during FIFA, we saw what can happen. We saw how quickly change can be made. And we saw how quickly the community can come together with the city and enact change. So that's good. But definitely community safety is, as a concern, has gotten worse, as has the issue around really wanting a clean downtown. What is new in terms of challenges is remote work. The rise of retail shopping over 10 years has really affected downtown Vancouver. And really, the perception of safety has really struggled.
And just thinking about the safety piece, it's a concern. There's a perception. Is there actually diminished safety in downtown? Or is it actually kind of since COVID? You know, I feel like there's the shift in the storyline, but is there actually diminished safety?
I would say there are pockets of downtown where there's been diminished safety. Granville Street, I can point to, and I can provide you with some statistics. Overall, though, Vancouver is a very safe city. Statistically, very safe. The perception, though, has really struggled post-COVID. And that matters, because if people don't feel safe, then they're less likely to come downtown. And it's one of the reasons why I think downtown's been, I don't want to say slow to recover, because we're actually doing quite well, but foot traffic is slowly coming back. And I think part of it is the perception of safety.
And what do you think? So Jane, a couple of things you alluded to was more people working from home. So less foot traffic, I guess, downtown. And presumably, when you said retail shopping, do you mean more people are shopping online and not coming downtown for shopping? Is that?
Well, certainly immediately post-COVID, that was the case. But that is starting to change. And we are starting to see more investment in retail downtown. And we are starting to see people come back to downtown, and people want to shop and businesses want to be here. Like, we're seeing Aritzia expand. Lululemon has expanded. There are a number of businesses in the downtown core that have set up shop here or have expanded here. So the appetite to be downtown is there.
You know, before we were hoping to, well, we will get into the, you guys released a report called The State of Downtown 2026, and we'd love to talk about that. But one of the things that Adam and I were just talking about before we went live, and it's kind of top of mind for me, is just Granville Street. Can we just get a rundown on, like, maybe even just what's changed, what's the same, and what does the future of Granville Street look like? Hopefully a positive spin on that, but what's your take?
So let me start with the future. Last summer, the Granville plan was unanimously approved at council, and I really honestly do not believe it's just another plan that's going to sit on a shelf somewhere. We're already seeing progress being made. It's very much behind the scenes. Like, it wouldn't be visible to most people just walking down the street. But in the last year, for example, we had 3 hotels approved in our district, 2 of which were on Granville Street, which is great, right? You can't see it yet, but providing they go forward, that's going to be transformational, really, for the street. There is an army of people who are fighting for this street. Mayor and council, huge supporters. Businesses along the street are so committed. And I think the community in general really wants this street to succeed. Now, the Granville plan is 5, 10, 15, 20-year plan. And I think what's needed right now are some immediate changes. And part of that has to do with street disorder on the street, physical homelessness is tragic and sad, and we really, really need to get out in front of it. So the street continues to struggle. And I also really don't want to just talk about Granville in a negative perspective, because there's a lot of good happening even right now. Last year, for example, our storefront vacancy rate, which remains high, but it went from 29% to 24%. So it just shows that investment is happening on the street. Visitation on the street remains the highest of our retail corridors. The nighttime economy is really coming around. So, you know, there are good things happening on the street, but there are some very visible challenges that prevent people from wanting to come to the street during the day. And until we meaningfully address the issues of housing affordability, mental health, addiction, repeat offenders, the street will continue to struggle and people will be less inclined to come downtown. And it will take that much longer to turn the street around.
I'm just thinking, Jane, like, what is the sense of, or what is the sentiment of business owners on Granville and surrounding areas? Because you're absolutely, I mean, I don't think anybody disagrees with the long-term need for intervention and social support, but there's an urgency for business owners. What's your take there?
Without question, there's an urgency for business owners. And I'm constantly amazed by the business owners on Granville Street. They're realists. They know the situation. They want to remain on Granville Street and they believe it can be better. They are frustrated, rightly so, and change can't come fast enough. So we have a group called the Granville Stakeholder Group. We meet monthly to discuss issues on the street and then identify how it is that we can advocate around these issues. And our advocacy has gone from being focused locally to really directed at the provincial government and even at the federal government. So they're very involved. They're very committed. And bottom line is they want to be there. It's tough, though. It's really tough.
When you say committed, because I truly want to kind of get to the how the commitment remains in place, because, I mean, it must be incredibly frustrating to watch that street get to where it's been without almost immediate intervention. And it reminds me a lot of Gastown, which is outside of the conversation today, but business owners and businesses that have basically had to leave Gastown or had to close up shop in Gastown. I guess it's impressive to see the commitment in the face of kind of the adversity for business owners. And what are the, I guess, can we talk a little bit about the interventions or the green shoots that you see that are leading to feelings of positivity?
Yeah. So they chose to be on Granville Street because they wanted to be on Granville Street, because they believe in the street and they believe in downtown and they believe in the future of the street. I'm continuously, amazed and inspired by their resiliency. But I think it needs to be said that we can't expect that same level of resiliency from these businesses forever. Like, we need to see the province come in, address some of the housing issues on the street. We need to see the change that is required to support business right now downtown. And that has been slow. I think the needs of the street are such that everyone's happy that the Granville plan was passed, but they're really focused on the short term. So FIFA coming in is, you know, really important for these businesses. And maybe we'll talk about it a little bit later, but we'll be pedestrianizing Granville Street from George to Davie for the full 39 days of the tournament. And we're working with the businesses on the street to make sure that we maximize that opportunity for them. Because many of them have been waiting for this for a couple of years now, right? So that's something that people see as really important. And then I think it's fair to talk about the three SROs on the street. I think, you know, the businesses on the street recognize that people need help and they're not getting the help that they need. These three SROs that the province established during COVID are not meeting the needs of anyone, not the people who live there, not the community, and certainly not the businesses. And we are working with the province to create a timeline for these three hotels to be closed and replaced with purpose-built housing for people with complex needs outside of the Granville Entertainment District, because SROs within an entertainment district are fundamentally incompatible. And our businesses know that, and they are waiting for the province to support our businesses by ensuring that the people who need appropriate housing get it, because right now they're not.
You kind of jumped a little bit there to answering this question, but I was going to ask, you know, in your 8 years with Downtown Van, looking at Granville, like, where did we go wrong? What are the lessons learned as to how we got here? And what was it all outside of your stakeholders' control, essentially? Was it kind of the province or what's your take?
You know, I think Granville Street was experiencing challenges certainly long before I started and long before COVID. Like, the street has had challenges for a number of years. I think, though, when the province came in and purchased these three hotels and turned them into SROs, it tipped the street in a negative direction. And it really was like, it was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. And there was no consultation with the business community, zero, none. You know, and I understand why the province did that, but it left, you know, it created a lack of trust. And then what made it even worse is that it's been very difficult to even get meetings, although that's getting better. But it's difficult to get meetings, and it's been difficult to have somebody finally say, we hear you, we recognize that this was a misstep, we're working on it. And that's happening. We have a close date for one of the three SROs that I'm talking about, but we need a close date for all three of them. And currently, that hasn't happened yet. And I also want to say one thing that I think is really important. In all of the 8 years that I've worked for this organization, not once, not a single time did I ever hear one of our members say that they didn't want people to receive help. They absolutely do. And they know that we're in the middle of a mental health crisis, drug crisis, affordability crisis. They understand. I think what they want, though, is for somebody to understand that businesses are crumbling under the conditions on the street, and they need people, government, the provincial government, let me be really specific, to understand that businesses are failing and businesses matter and downtowns matter. And you can't just come in, turn three hotels into housing for people with complex needs without caring for their complex needs. An exit, right? Like, it hasn't worked. And I think they want to be seen in this. I think they need the government to recognize that businesses matter.
Yeah, it's funny that to underline the point that we've had a lot of people on from different kind of sectors of the business community, especially the real estate community, that we've heard that time and again, right? That there's little consultation and it's very tough to get the ear of anyone in power making these decisions, which seems incomprehensible to me, that the organization with the people either paying rent, creating community and a business community in the center of the city can't get the ear of the government. The provincial government seems insane. But anyway.
It's tough. Like, I've had meetings with the premier. I've sat next to him. I've said exactly the same thing that I'm saying to you, to him. And I know he gets it. I didn't get the sense that he was like, okay, sure. Can we just move this along? I honestly felt like he got it. But it's just been so incredibly slow to move. And the last time that I met him was just before Christmas this year. And it did result in the closed date of one of the hotels. So I shouldn't be like completely negative about it, because we do now have a closed date for the Luca, which is the hotel that has been challenged the most.
I just want to have one more question about Granville Street, but we should say David Eby, past guest, fan favorite on the show. So
sure, of course. Before. And I'm not like, I don't think this is something that anybody can just wave a magic wand and fix. I don't expect that. What we need is more collaboration and more urgency.
But it sounds like collaboration before the decision was made would have been useful as well, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. It took everyone by surprise. And it wasn't just on Granville Street. Like, it happened throughout the city and in other areas as well. But it makes no sense to me why three hotels within an entertainment district that was already struggling was considered a good idea at the time.
Do you think the city's frustrated that they've inherited this problem to this extent?
Well, I can't yeah. speak for mayor and council in the city, but I would certainly think so. And they've been very responsive. We meet with mayor and council quite often, either as a BIA partnership or as a standalone. And we would need to hear from Mayor Sim whether he's frustrated, but I'd bet my life savings on it.
I just want to go back to the pedestrianization. Is that how do you say it? Yeah. Anyway, creating a pedestrian corridor along Granville for FIFA. Maybe two questions that are totally hardly related. One is, can we talk about what people can expect during FIFA on Granville with the kind of car-free zone? And then maybe as a follow-up, is there any appetite to create that as a car-free zone? Like, would the business community be excited about that? Because it strikes me as potentially something that could be really interesting. But I'd love to hear about what we can expect for FIFA.
Okay. Within the Granville plan, there is a long-term plan to pedestrianize the street, or certainly to look into every possibility to make that happen. Right now, though, I don't think our businesses can immediately get behind the pedestrianization long-term of the street, because the conditions on the street are so urgent that pedestrianization is just, it's too far down the line to actually really think about. What the Granville pedestrian zone does is give us a chance to test it out. And the street will be closed for 39 days, like I said, when we started, from Granville to Davie. Traffic, though, the cross streets will remain open. So each of the blocks will be closed. And each of the blocks will have its own theme. So one will be, for example, Selfie Station, one will be Game On, one will be Enchanted Forest. There are two others that are escaping me at the moment. But you will go from block to block and have a different experience on each block. What you will see throughout are public public art, enhanced patios, as many patios on the street as we can get approved in time for FIFA, and who want to actually be out on the street with a patio will have the opportunity to do that. There will be light music. We can't have stages, but there will be performers, buskers, local performers. The storefronts on the street will have an opportunity, I think that's just getting confirmed now. But the plan is that some of the storefronts can expand their footprint out onto the street. And it'll be a place to kind of hang out. It's not a party zone, certainly not during the day, right? Like, we can't have, like I said, stages, and we can't have screens. So it's not a viewing area. It's a place to come together as a community, soak in the energy of the World Cup, create memories, and for some people, rediscover Granville Street. We're really, really excited about it, really.
We've been really excited about FIFA as well. I think the some of the critiques we've heard from people is that it's kind of an exhibition that comes through town and doesn't actually leave any lasting positives for the city. But what you're suggesting is actually the alternative. It sounds like we're getting to where we're testing certain scenarios in specific neighborhoods, and it could have a lasting impact. Is that your take?
Certainly from the perspective of whether or not a pedestrianized zone will work right now, this is going to test that. And we'll be doing reports on it and research into it. So we'll be able to track the spending. We'll be able to track the increased foot traffic. We'll actually have data to be able to make some recommendations. It's, providing the weather cooperates, I think it's just going to be great. I'll tell you what, though, it feels a bit like, I don't know, being back in high school and throwing some party and worrying that nobody will come. And then at the same time, worrying that so many people will come that the cops will get called. And, you know, it's just that we don't really we don't really know what to expect. But at the end of the day, I think it's going to be a really great experience.
Fortunately, your dad was the mayor. So,
police chief.
He was the honorary police. He rode along with the chiefs.
Just thinking about FIFA, that analogy to like the high school party, is that fairly normal? Because one thing that, you know, one headline that I saw, and I have a friend in the hotel business, was where, you know, FIFA, and it sounds like that's standard fare, that they lock up all sorts of hotel rooms and then they release a bunch closer to the date. Is it normal to be, and maybe I'm putting words in your mouth, is it normal at this stage to be like, who's coming to this thing? Like, how big is this going to be?
Is it normal? It's my normal. Yeah. Here's what I know. I know that the stadium holds 50,000 people. I know that we have 7 matches. And I know that we will have a minimum of 350,000 people come to our city this summer. Is it going to be bigger than that? Absolutely. How much bigger? I don't know. And I haven't, I've just heard it's going to be big.
Yeah.
And then there are the people that are concerned that it won't be. And, you know, it just has to happen. And we just have to experience, because right now we don't really know, or I don't really know. And if somebody knows, I'd love it if they could tell me.
Jane, where are the biggest opportunities in your mind for downtown? And are we near our potential?
I don't know why I'm starting with your second question every time, but I'm going to start with, are we near the potential? First of all, Vancouver is an incredible city, and it easily holds its own against any city in the world. But like any city, it has its challenges, and the work of city building is never done. Like, my team and I are not going to walk in the office one day, look around and say, all right, we've reached our potential. We're done here. I don't think a city ever fully realizes its potential, because it's constantly changing. And people always want it to be better. So have we realized our potential? No. And that's, I think, a good thing, because we're striving for more. Okay. What are our opportunities? Let's focus on maximizing our strengths. So our opportunities would be more major events. Like, Vancouver does an exceptional job of delivering on major events. And when that happens, people come downtown and they support our businesses, and they shop in retail and they eat out in our restaurants, and it's a benefit for everyone. And we do a great job of it. So more of that. We have an opportunity with having 2 premier stadiums, 1 stadium and 1 arena, right in our downtown core. And that's so important for the vibrancy and the economic stability of our downtown. So it's really, really important that our teams, I'm talking Whitecaps, stay in the downtown core. And at least that's what I believe, and that's what I'm pushing for. Because when our stadiums thrive, our downtowns thrive. So our teams, our festivals, our events, our shows, we need them to keep happening, and there's an opportunity to create more of them. So I think that would be 2 area of that would be considered a strength that I think we can maximize. where we have opportunities that are currently challenges, and go right back to Granville Street. Granville Street is the heart of our district, of our 90 blocks. And frankly, conditions on the street are not improving to the extent or at the pace that we need for it to improve. It is both a challenge and a tremendous opportunity. If we can get out in front of the challenges that the street is facing and properly address them, we have an enormous opportunity to shape downtown. So that's like what comes to mind, first of all. And then, okay, wait, there's one more. It's kind of a repeat of what I said earlier, but until we meaningfully address housing affordability, mental health, addiction, and repeat offenders, downtown will continue to struggle. So I look at that as an opportunity as well. I believe it can be fixed. I believe it's possible, and I believe we have to keep fighting for it. And three of those four issues are led by the province, and the fourth is led primarily by the provincial government. So we need all levels of government working together to address these issues.
You know, one of the questions we had was, if you had one lever to pull, policy or otherwise, what would it be? It sounds to me like the number one issue is essentially kind of street disorder and kind of the perception of crime and actual crime.
Okay. Well, I'll be very quick, I promise, but I would ask for a couple of different, my first lever would be to have two more levers. But if I only had one, it would be that we absolutely have to provide appropriate purpose-built housing for the people on the street who need it. Like these are complex challenges. It is a complex challenge, but it can be addressed. And I think if I could wave a magic wand and fix that, I think that we would see the other challenges start to dissipate. And then really quickly, I would also really love to wave a wand and have a 24-hour SkyTrain, even though I know that I understand why we can't have it. And then my third wave would be more arts and culture in our city, more places for artists to practice their skill and their trade, but also more performance spaces. And I would say those are my, you know, like, those are my three areas that if I could wave a wand, I would immediately fix.
You know, I was in Dublin last year, and I don't know the street. There's a high street there with, I was trying to think, it's kind of almost a combination of Robson Street and Granville, maybe, with tons of street performers. And it struck me as like, Granville Street could be that, but instead, yeah, it's not. But I feel like the busking, the kind of spaces for people to be attracted to just being on the street could be a real boon to the street.
Yeah. So let me talk a little bit about our Granville Block Party. A couple of years ago, Councillor Kirby Young reached out. This is during COVID, and talked about the opportunity of pedestrianizing the street. And we, first year was like Granville Prom, and the street would just close and people could walk up and down it. That now has turned into Granville Block Party, and that takes place at the end of August, the last couple of years, at the end of August. And we close Granville and Robson and then a street on each side. First year we did it, we were like, are people going to come? Like, it's Granville Street during the day, and will there be an appetite for it? And we had 42,000 people show up over 2 days and generated an economic impact of about $1 million for the surrounding businesses just on that street. Second year, just about the same thing. I think it was the same. It was like 41,000 people and just under $1 million in economic impact. So we know that when people are given the opportunity to come to Granville Street, they will come and they will support it. And it was really fun talking to people on the street and getting their perception of what it was like on Granville. And like, it was just, there was so much community spirit and so much love expressed for the street. The other thing I'll never forget is sitting next to a couple from Europe, and I was just sitting there, wasn't talking to them. And the woman looked at her husband and said, why can't we have anything this cool? And I thought, all right, there's hope for Granville. Like, we're the cool street right now, considered cool by Europeans. So there is an appetite. The street can support it. We will get there. It is not going to happen overnight. We have some very real complex challenges to address, but our community is behind the street.
Jane, we've got over, I think, 6,500 hotel rooms in the development pipeline for Vancouver. What's, in your mind, what's fueling that bet?
I don't think it's a speculative bet. I think it's just based on research by the Hotel Task Force. I think it's based on the fact that our average hotel occupancy is 80.5% throughout the year, and it spikes to as high as 95% during our busiest month. And it is, you know, the number of hotel rooms has been declining over time. And I think it's really just meeting a need. And I believe that when we have more hotel rooms, we can do more of these large-scale events. We can do more of these conferences. We can do more of what we know brings people downtown. And it's good.
Another thing that I just wanted to talk about or hear your thoughts on was kind of the work from home. And we've kind of talked about it a bit from the perspective of street disorder and, you know, kind of a cycle of that has perpetuated since COVID. But I think office vacancies over 10%. People seem to be coming back to the office. Some companies are mandating people to come back to the office. I feel like the region, at least from where we sit, which is kind of a real estate perspective, it's not as centered as it was on downtown as it was, say, a decade ago, where downtown was kind of the driving force and it kind of rippled out from there. Now there's kind of different centers. How, as an organization and a business community, are you thinking that there's some sort of return to pre-COVID normal still that's in the works, or is it more competition with other kind of centers in the region more so than before? Like, how are you thinking about this kind of new normal?
I think it's fair to say that downtowns across North America will probably never look the same as they did before the pandemic. And before the pandemic, we could count on people coming downtown because they had to come downtown. You know, they worked here. The majority of our jobs are here. And that's changed. So we need to make sure that we're giving people more reasons to be here beyond just going to work. We know that events bring people downtown. And we know that when we have events, more people are in the office during the day because they come in, they go to work, and then they go to one of the events in the evening and in the afternoon. So I really, you know, I understand the reluctance to come back to work. I understand the need for flexibility, and I understand where people are coming from. I also understand how much downtown requires and relies on office workers. And if that means that we need to provide additional reasons to come downtown, then we will do that.
Fantastic. One thing that strikes as a real benefit for Vancouver over other cities is that the downtown is dense, right? I think in your report, it was like the number one, in terms of population, it's the densest downtown in Canada. You have kind of a built-in, there's a built-in population. And it's worth noting, as you pointed out, in the report, highly educated, often in creative sectors. Like, I feel like there's a lot of real positives, that kind of base for downtown that we're working with.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There's so much that downtown Vancouver has going for it. As you just mentioned, the most densely populated downtown of any Canadian city. And still, we have to make sure that we're working hard to give people reasons to come out of their neighborhoods and come right into, you know, into the downtown core. The other thing that we have going for us is one of the lowest office vacancy rates of any downtown in North America. I think we're at 12.3%, which is higher than many people would like to see. But to put that in perspective, in 2019, if I'm remembering this correctly, our office vacancy rate was 1.9%, which was deeply unhealthy when you consider that 6 to 8% is healthy. And we've had a number of new beautiful buildings, beautiful office buildings come on stream, and nobody was betting on COVID. Just means we have a little bit of space to grow into now. So we have so much going for us. Tourism, we're a leading global tourism destination. Like, there is a lot good happening in Vancouver, but we can't take any of it for granted. We have to keep working to make sure that it's the best downtown it can possibly be. Because there are so many other options, right? Like you mentioned it, neighborhoods are more complete. We have things like the shipyards now, and there's competition, but that's okay.
Hey, iron sharpens iron, right, Adam?
Yeah.
Is that what you say?
Fine. Yeah, that's what I say. Yeah. And maybe I'm just thinking here, we've kept you, Jane, for almost an hour. Maybe as a final question, I'm just thinking about business improvement and kind of the mandate of your company. Why is it so important to start at the business level? Why is it so important to create an environment where businesses can thrive downtown? Like for the overarching the ideas we've discussed.
Because downtowns matter. You cannot have a healthy, robust city if you don't have a healthy downtown. And if you don't have a healthy, robust city, then the entire region is negatively affected all the way on up to the province. So it's critically important that we keep pushing for the best downtown that we can realize, because our city, our region, and our province are very affected by that.
Very good. Jane, we do have this segment called the Five Wire, five lighthearted questions that we end every show with. Can you stick around for that?
Absolutely.
Okay, so question number one is one book that you've read recently that you would recommend for our listeners.
Mm-hmm. Over Christmas, I read The Winds of War by Herman, I think it's Wouk, W-O-U-K. It's World War II. It's not what I would consider a beach read, but it was absolutely fascinating. And then I just finished War and Remembrance, which follows the book. So, so good. So good.
And it's, is it historical fiction or is it?
Yeah, it follows a family's journey from before the war broke out to a couple of years after the war ends. It's fascinating. It's
interesting.
Excellent writing. My all-time favorite book, though, is A Confederacy of Dunces. I think I've read it like four times.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I have not heard of that one, actually, but I'm writing it down. In the last few years, Jane, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life?
I would say it's a belief, and it is the belief that everything is going to be okay. Like, these are problems, but these problems have solutions, and we just have to keep pushing. We have to have the end goal in mind. We have to know the next logical step to progress, and we have to keep going. And I honestly believe that everything is going to be okay.
That's a great one. And that makes me feel better. Thank you for that. this always feels a little jarring after the second question, but what have you been binge watching lately, or a movie recommendation?
I have been binge watching The Pitt.
Oh, yeah. We've had that. Yeah. Is this the medical show?
I think they're only two seasons and they just signed on for a third. So to binge it, it doesn't really take too long, but it's very good.
Right.
It's all in one day, I think, or no, is that wrong?
It's a full, I think it's like, it's a full season and it's one shift.
Yeah. Wow.
So yeah.
It's a neat idea.
It really is. Yeah.
Favorite band or music?
Favorite band. Zac Brown Band. Love Zac
Brown. Zac Brown Band?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, sounds country.
It is, but also like he rocks out and he's got some, you know, some other, I don't know, he has some jazz in there too. I just find him to be a really talented artist. And like my husband and I have gone all over the place to see them perform.
Have they been to Vancouver?
Yeah, they have. And it was the least favorite Zac Brown Band concert I ever saw. they're really at their best, like at the Gorge in Washington State, right? I saw them in Tampa. They're from Georgia, I think. I saw them down in Tampa in some like county fair grounds, like outdoor. They're in their element outdoors.
And last but not least, Jane, something that you've purchased for under $1,500 that's had a positive impact on your life.
Okay. Technically, it's a purchase because I paid an adoption fee. But in July and then again in September, we adopted two senior, very senior cats. And it has completely changed my life.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
Senior.
Well, thanks so much. Yeah.
Way senior, a 13-year-old and a senior.
Holy.
Yeah. Well, it's great. I love them.
Well, thanks so much for taking the time, Jane. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, we didn't talk all that much about the specifics of the state of downtown, the report that you guys put out. But I guess, how can people find out more about that report and what you guys are doing at Downtown Van?
Okay.
So the report is downloadable from our website, which is dtvan.ca, and just search state of downtown, and it'll provide the opportunity to download.
Well, thank you for all the work that you're doing for downtown and for Granville, honestly, because I feel like it's one of these things that everybody is watching from the sidelines. Yeah. So yeah. It's nice to see. Yeah. And rooting for Granville. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. You're welcome. And I should say, like, we work with some incredible partners. It's definitely a collaborative effort.
Right. Well, hopefully we can get you back for an update at some point.
I'd like that.
So there you have it, folks, our discussion with Jane Talbot, CEO of Downtown Van.
Really enjoyed that conversation with Jane. You know, downtown's been weighing heavy on me. I feel like sometimes I drive down there and I feel great, and other times I drive down there and I go, what is going on in this city? And nice to hear that people like Jane are working hard on solutions, especially for the owners of Granville Street, that I'm happy to hear that they're optimistic and that they are patient with what's been happening. So hopefully we see some improvement for those businesses. Reminder, FIFA World Cup. We've got matches in BC running from June 13th to July 7th of this year. And I can't wait for FIFA. This is going to be really exciting. Hopefully the weather improves. We've had rain a few days here, which kind of sucks. But otherwise, the weather's been terrific. So yeah, I can't wait. It'll be a good summer.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Interesting to hear that the person spearheading the revitalization might be strong for downtown Vancouver. Grew up in such a small town where her dad was the football coach, sheriff, mayor. And everything else. I feel like we're talking about Friday Night Lights or something here. But it was great having Jane on the show. That's for sure. And we'll definitely have to have her back, especially as a FIFA recap, maybe. But yeah, what else do we have for the day, Adam? We've worked with hundreds of people who listen to the show over the years. I would just like to say we'd love to work with more of you. We're always available and always happy to chat about buying or selling real estate or anything else. You can try me at 778-847-2854 or Matt at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com at any time.
Or you can try me at 778-866-4574 or Adam at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
And of course, we got that Kokomo line info at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. And man, we got some good episodes coming, Adam. We're not slowing down for FIFA. That's for sure.
We are not.
In any respect. I suggested I was slowing down. I'm not slowing down. I'm just getting started.
Excellent. That definitely makes two of us. So we'll see you next episode. Can't wait.
2,000 Faces for Radio. Subscribe today.